Welcome to Where the Sun Shines, your 2025-2026 Astrology Studio. I'm Eric Francis Coppolino, your friendly neighborhood astrologer. Here with a reading of what's called your solar chart. The solar chart is a little different from the natal chart in that it is essentially blank except for the signs, the houses, and where the planets are today. And that provides a lot of information for you. But before we go there, before I get into this lovely chart that I have drawn up for you, I want to talk a little bit about astrology in the digital age and how astrology in the digital age serves a different purpose than it has served before. Astrology was developed in a time when the world was relatively stable. Now, I don't have direct recollection of my lifetimes from the 1700s and 1800s and all of that. I'm not sure I was even here. It's possible that I was. I go back a long time on this planet, but I have focused my direct recollection to several of my more significant lifetimes. But we are living in a time when the rate of change is exponential. It's exponential in that we move from one technology environment to the next. It grows and proliferates very rapidly. And every time we go through another one of these shifts, the relationship that people have to themselves, the relationship that you have to yourself, and that I have to myself, is destabilized. It is shocked, and in a sense, the ground keeps getting pulled out from under us. By that I mean the ground of being, the ground of consciousness. This has been going on for a while. I received a Substack this morning with a quote from the Communist Manifesto. Now, I'm not really a Marxist. I never really seriously considered Marxism as a viewpoint, but I'm interested in philosophy, and I'm interested in observations. And here's what Groucho Marx wrote in 1847, published in 1848. Constant revolutionizing of production, uninterrupted disturbance of all social conditions, everlasting uncertainty and agitation distinguish the bourgeois epoch from all earlier ones. All fixed, fast frozen relations, with their train of ancient and venerable prejudices and opinions, are swept away. All new formed ones become antiquated before they can ossify, solidify. All that is solid melts into the air. All that is holy is profaned. And men and women, mankind, womankind, is at last compelled to face with their sober senses their real conditions of life and their real relations with their kind. Now, I don't know so much about the second part of that, but what I found interesting was the description of extremely rapid change going back to the mid-19th century. Those sentences could have been written about the time we are in now. All forms of social relationships evaporating, the entire social and familial landscape changing more rapidly than anyone can even keep up. The definitions of words changing more rapidly than anyone can keep up. And we live in this as if it's normal. We live in this as if it is just the way things are, but the chances are that it is just the way things are after the advent of light speed communication, which happened just 3 years before Groucho wrote that statement. 3 years. And so we are now living in a world, and in that era, light-speed communication was telegraph. And we are now living in a world where everything is conveyed by light-speed communication. The exception may be a conversation you have in person. Maybe you make yourself dinner, and you didn't require any kind of digital transaction specifically right in that moment. To boil the water for spaghetti. But that is an extreme minority of experience, and pretty much everything we are living through is coming in this flood of destabilizing light speed electrical impulses, which have now been reduced to zeros and ones. And what I'm saying is that you may be feeling this in ways that you have not become conscious of. You may be feeling tremendously destabilized. And the digital environment is what you could call one enormous not-self environment. Now, the purpose of astrology as I practice it, and I think as all legitimate natal astrologers practice it and horoscope writers, is to help you find yourself, help you find your way back to yourself. And let's not even talk about those guys. Let's talk about what I'm doing. That is my purpose. And that purpose is I'm attempting to fulfill that purpose for you in the time when the environment is generating not self, that's a term from human design, not self impulses that are being introduced by the minute. This whole AI phenomenon that I have been so concerned about, and that since you've accessed this reading, you're probably well familiar with my views on this, is the creation of the most overwhelming not self environment. And so when we're living in this kind of broth, this boiling, bubbling ocean of not self influences, astrology then has a special role in terms of helping us make access to some underlying experience of true self. And it is my supposition that this true self exists and is alive and is unchanged within every single person. And the question is, how do you turn yourself back toward your inner actual relationship to yourself and to existence? Now, if we slice and dice this language, it gets very, it can sound like, well, what do you mean by all those things? But I know what I mean, and maybe you know what I mean. But by not self, I'm gonna share with you the main concepts out of human design for not self. There are indications that you may be out of contact and experiencing a kind of a disruption in your relationship to yourself. And they are frustration. That is the most common one, is a sense of frustration. That's for the generators and manifesting generators. That's, I think, 2/3 of the population. Then there is anger. Now, that is experienced to some degree by everyone, but there are some people, manifestors, for whom that's going to be really pronounced. They're going to relate to the environment that you're in by anger. Then there is bitterness, a specific feeling that is often overlooked and taken for granted, or considered to be some kind of a legitimate personality attribute. It certainly seems natural enough. Finally, there is disappointment. And so there are a lot of people walking around who feel disappointed. They feel like their expectations have not been met. Now, I know that we all go through some of these, a little bit of them or a lot of them at one time or another, but you're probably going to relate to one of those more than the others, and I'll state them again. Frustration, anger, bitterness, and disappointment. And these are all clues that you have been jolted out of who you actually are, which is unfortunately highly probable in the midst of this crazy, overwhelming, not self environment. By that, I mean that all of this electrical and digital technology takes us out of our center. It takes us out of our relationship to our inner teacher. It disrupts everything that might be in some way solid or stable about who we are. And so my purpose in doing this reading is to point out a couple of things that you may have noticed, maybe you haven't noticed, that will help guide you back into a more, stable sense of who you are and of who you want to be. Now, right before I, hold on, a little AC going here. As soon as I start working, which means talking, which means increasing my brain wattage, the room can get kind of hot. Not to mention all these lights, they don't look like much, but they definitely are hot. Okay, so right before I started, I was writing the August horoscope for Leo. And my writing quota for the day included writing all of Leo and Virgo for August. But when I wrote the Leo entries, I'm like, oh, I think I've got something here. So basically, I stopped the show, set up this little studio, and committed to telling you what's in these readings. And sometimes if you're a reader, you know that you can't really do it twice. There's no such thing as really repeating a reading. And then I'll make sure that this this text is included. And the time that the sun is in a sign is crucial to the expression of that sign for that year. And one thing going on is that I'm recording on Wednesday the 23rd. On Thursday the 24th, before I read any text to you, let me see if I can find this. This is, I work with a stack of charts that for the sake of having something interesting to look at, I'm gonna put on the Jumbotron here. This is what's going on in the fixed signs, of which yours is one, and we'll get into that. First, 18th, 23rd, moon opposite sun. All right, that's on the 20. Oh, this is the wrong month. We're in July. New moon. Ta-da! All right, this is a wild chart. The reason I think it is such a wild chart is, what's going on here is the moon and the sun forming a conjunction called the new moon, exactly opposite Pluto. This is evocative, indicative of a metric of a confrontation with the new life that you are living. And this new life is all over the place, because they're essentially all the major planets except for Chiron and Eris have changed signs, and Chiron and Eris are in a conjunction in Aries, which is going to become a main focus of this reading as we get a little bit further in. By the way, I don't know how long this is going to take me to explain this. I'm just going to explain this, listen in parts if you need to, and maybe I'll be done in 5 minutes, but that's not very likely. What's the reason why your life feels like so much has changed is that Uranus is in a new sign, Pluto is in a new sign, Saturn and Neptune are in a new sign, Aries, Sedna is in a new sign right there with Uranus. And when we get a little bit further in, Mars is going to make a big move on August 11th, well, August 6th through 11th, by jumping into this whole pattern. And so one thing I'm here to say is that if you feel like everything has changed, if you feel like you're in this whole different world, that's probably true. The source of the change is coming from the background. It's coming from deep inside existence. It's not just that you kind of woke up different. You are largely responding to the environment around you having changed very, very rapidly. So let me read you a couple of these things. Let's see how this works. I've never done this in a birthday reading, and I've always wanted to integrate the written portion with the kind of oral presentation. So let's make sure I've got the right sign here going on. Okay, so we're going to skip ahead to the full moon and Mercury stationing direct. One of the characteristics of this time, this year, is that through much of the time of the Sun in Leo, Mercury is retrograde in Leo. So that's a defining factor. That is an inherently introspective factor. It is calling you into yourself, like many other things right now. The problem is that interior space is becoming a narrower and narrower ledge to walk on and is likely to feel increasingly unstable to turn your attention inward. It feels much more stable to let yourself be taken out of yourself and into the world, into the not-self environment, because the environment of self is becoming so difficult to access. It's becoming more and more constricted. And so internalizing your focus is becoming more of a high wire act. All right, let's read this. The full moon in your opposite sign, this is from a little early next month, is paired with Mercury turning direct, are influencing you strongly. You may have the idea that you can take on the world. That may be true, though the planets suggest you use diplomacy instead of force or aggression. And by diplomacy, I mean to do everything relationally. You don't know what you're up against. You can't really see your competitors, opponents, or even your partners clearly. Diplomacy is not manipulation. Neither is it passive or passive aggression, which merely means concealed aggression. Rather, when you sense a confrontation or disagreement is brewing, get a conversation going and find out where people are at. This involves the now rarefied skill of listening and evaluation that is not designed to funnel someone to a point of view they don't really have, which we're used to a lot. Handle difficult situations with finesse and you'll build respect and help hold the world together rather than fracture it even more. And I just want to remind you of, now I've reshuffled all my charts. Oh my God. It's, I'm going to find again this July 24th chart. July 24th, come on. feel like the absent-minded professor. I'm going to pause this recording and be back. So hold on. Okay, so sorry about that. The sheer number of charts gives you an idea how much data that I'm working with when I do this, and then I've got to boil it down to something that's coherent, which I admit I'm not doing very well right now, but please hang in there and take what you can. The confrontation element, the reason why confrontation is such an important theme for you now, has got to do with this new moon that happens on the 24th, which lines up exactly against Pluto. Look at this. Let's pull this up a little bit. Moon and the Sun at Leo, 2 degrees and 8 minutes, and then Pluto at 2 degrees and 36 minutes. This is a special new moon, and it's one of the defining features of your year because it is so prominent in the entire solar return process for Leo. And it is a reminder that you're now in this environment where Pluto is in your relationship house. This is very unpredictable. It is not indicative of stability, and it is requiring you to really focus on whatever kind of unstoppable, compelling force that Pluto represents. So let's keep reading here, and let's see in this slightly new style. So the next thing that happens is a turbulent, potentially difficult and confusing phase of your life is behind you, which it suggests you might be in that now, that difficult, potentially confusing phase. But you're still likely to be feeling unsettled. Anger and resentment are especially dangerous right now, because conditions can allow them to take hold as prevailing emotional patterns. So this is why I'm suggesting that you very quickly process and avoid anger and resentment. Your astrology could be summed up as advising correct speech, and also not just diplomacy, but also seeing mutual interests. Worldview and state of mind are more important than the words you say. Consciousness is being reduced to a gigantic game. Consciousness in our time. In our time. Is being reduced to a gigantic game where oneself is the only player and everyone else is in a non-participating role. That's not companionship, and it's not intimacy. And beneath any churned up emotions or unpredictable events or conflict, is the desire to be closer. Just remember, this is a skill few people remember or value, and it can feel threatening. Now, let's talk about that sense of threatening. So Pluto in your opposite sign, which means your seventh place, a lot of people are going to register this as a threat, and in particular a threat to their stability, and so this in itself can be destabilizing, because if you do this kind of modern thing and you assume that everyone is a threat of some kind, which is what we love to do, we love to have the threat of the day, the dangerous is still at large, the killer is still on the loose, fantasy threats. Well, Pluto in the seventh can describe a lot of that. And so this is why it is important for you to really look directly at things, and then kind of turn and look at things through your peripheral vision as well, but then to also take in the wider environment. And so when dealing with Pluto, if you're staring straight at it, you're going to get one result. You're going to make one set of observations. And Pluto is anything that manifests as the unstoppable force. And if you look at Pluto through your peripheral vision, you're going to get another kind of perspective. And then if you take in the entire environment 360 and look around you, for example, looking at the entire chart, which we're about to do, we're going to expand the view of this chart into all the rest of these houses, you will get another result, another set of observations. And what is vitally important to kind of instill, I think, into this reading right now is that the way that everything connects is astounding. For example, this new moon, the moon's going to, it's right about here. It's right about here now. It's going to be here tomorrow. This new moon takes place at 2 degrees of Leo. And we're looking at that Mars I'm considering to be, even though it's going to keep moving, groundbreaking thing. Look at all of these interconnections. So this is why a circumspect approach is crucial right now. So a circumspect approach means to not look at the world with blinders on. I once had a kind of a business assistant by the name of Lauren. This is going back about 10 years. And Lauren was, she had a difficult personality because she was always viewing things from the narrowest possible line of sight. And I can be highly focused on things, but also I'm a Pisces. I need to be circumspect. I believe she was a Pisces. She needed to be circumspect. But her defense was to look at things through tunnel vision. So one day, I became a little bit frustrated with this, and which is to say that I had probably experienced it 10 or 20 times. And I said, Lauren, would you like to do a little gestalt exercise? Drive to work a different way, drive home a different way, and each day when you come into work, describe something you noticed on the drive to work. And she said, I can't do that. I'll get into an accident. She thought, her mind said, that if she notices, I mean, we're constantly noticing things, and if you would get into an accident from just noticing anything outside of the immediate, like, road ahead of you, all the ads would be resulting in piles of wreckage on the side of the road at all times. There would be broken glass and bumpers everywhere. But no, she did not want to. She couldn't break her tunnel vision for anything. You have to get outside of your tunnel vision. Tunnel vision is a trained response, especially in an environment where there is so much distraction. It is tempting to over-focus and to tune out your circumstances when, for you, because one thing always will connect to everything else, I'm suggesting that you be circumspect, that you be peripheral, and that you look at your whole environment, including the thing right in front of you, but also including everything else around you. Because there's going to be a lot of information coming from the thing in front of you, but it's not going to have any meaning until you place it in context. And the thing about your charts that is changing and that makes it seem like you are changing is that the context of existence is changing. I mean, it is a big shift of context in the course of 6 months, and they were early adapters to this AI, all-inclusive artificial god, artificial I. AI stands for artificial I, which means artificial you, which means if you use the stuff as a kind of a creative crutch, all you're going to do is convince yourself that you're phony and that you don't exist. In just 6 months, we've gone from a few early adapters experimenting with it to basically almost everyone totally immersing themselves in it, and that doesn't include when it's blown back in our faces. That is a major shift in context that is going to result in a major rearrangement of your relationship to all of those contexts. And one of the biggest ways that we can sum this whole thing up is Pluto in Aquarius. Now, Pluto in Aquarius was making its way in between mid-2003 and late 2004. It took 18 months. That's very unusual. Some quirk of the solar system. You know, usually something like Eris, will take like five ingresses. Even Sedna just went into Gemini, retrograded and went back into Gemini to stay there. Sedna with an 11,400-year orbit. Pluto with a mere 250-year orbit, its ingress stretched out over 18 months. Now, this may have been about a kind of a pressure adaptation, and it especially served you. But what I suggest you do in attempting to understand this is to understand, like, study the changes in your environment over the past 2 years. This all began about 2 years ago. And you are very likely to be in a completely different environment. But how did that happen? How did that go down? What were the steps involved? And the other very important thing about Pluto is, in the seventh places, that is potentially high impact on one-to-one personal relationships, meaning romantic relationships, quote-unquote romantic, by which I mean intimate, sexual, domestic, some combination thereof, business partnerships or collaborations, and relationships that are based on enmity, what the Course in Miracles called the special hate relationship. The special hate relationship is something that, you know, you can look this up in A Course in Miracles. It's on the old page 313. The special hate relationship right now is an especially important teacher, but it's also potentially very distracting. And people tend to obsess over these special hate relationships. They're one of the biggest distractions that we have. They're one of the biggest, let's say, not self-indulgences that we can possibly have, is the special hate relationship. And there are plenty of them to have, whether they're with public figures like Trump or private figures like your ex-boyfriend or your ex-girlfriend. What they do is feed what I will, and you don't really hear me use this term very often, they feed the ego, which means they feed guilt, fear, and resentment. They feed all of these not self signatures. And I'm surprised. I'm not deep enough into HD to understand where guilt factors in. But in Gestalt theory, guilt is a form of resentment. And from studying homeopathy, I learned the idea that resentment is a form of malice. And so guilt is a form of malice turned onto yourself. And that is the keynote. That's what's going on mostly in these special hate relationships. And so if you find yourself in a special hate relationship, pay attention. Notice what it is about. And allow your inner witness to tell you what it sees, rather than just being totally involved on the level of ego. Now, while we're talking about the witness, I don't think I've ever said this in video format. Take a look at this chart here, and notice the viewpoint. the viewpoint is the most important thing in all of astrology, because normally we're looking at the rest of these planets and objects and points and aspects from the level of the chart itself. But once we cast the chart, we're looking at it in a bird's eye view. We're looking at it, we're looking down, down, that's a cool shot, down from above. And so see if you can do that when you get into one of these not-self special hate relationship situations. And see if you can do it when you get into what seems to be a loving, affectionate, collaborative partnership of some kind, to look at your situation from above. All right, let's read another horoscope. And I think this may be the heart of the matter, and I'm going to switch charts when I explain this. And this pertains to your most elementary spiritual orientation. By spiritual, I mean a combination of most loving and your relationship to existence. Most loving and your relationship to existence. Again, this is a matter of context and emotional orientation. Okay, here is from the August 28th horoscope. I realize the sun is now in Virgo for this. Your self-respect must come from having faith in yourself. It is possible to focus on or obsess over all the insults and injuries of the past. That is not faith. It is possible to pump yourself up with all the supposed reasons that you're so beautiful or powerful or wonderful. A homespun program or course is announced every 20 minutes, for example, on Facebook. Be a goddess. Be everything you ever wanted to be all at once. Lose your belly fat. But that's not about your relationship to yourself. Faith implies doubt. Success involves overcoming challenges, including failure. Faith implies doubt. Success involves overcoming challenges. Being who you are requires discovering who you are not. Getting answers involves asking real questions, and those can be annoying or inconvenient. All the substitutes seem easier, and they're abundant. Click a few links and you too can spend the next 6 months discovering how the world is flat, the earth is flat, and dinosaurs didn't exist, and Paul McCartney really didn't write any songs, and so on. These things are diversions from your most important questions, the ones that follow you from lifetime to lifetime and are bubbling to the surface right now. While I'm here, I want to do a kind of the medium is the message analysis of what were these, the flat earth, the dinosaurs didn't exist, and the Beatles never wrote a song. These are very popular mental diversions in the digital age right now. They all predate the digital era, but the digital technology amplifies, magnifies, and makes more pronounced certain things. And so the earth being flat is a spiritual denial. It is to say that the very thing that sustains you has no substance. The dinosaurs not existing is to say that you are somehow insignificant if there were other very important major phases of the life of the world. And look, the dinosaurs are kind of the least of it. The world was ruled by plants. The world's been ruled by algae. The world's been ruled by trilobites. Yeah, practically smash open any rock and find a fossil of a trilobite. The hell's a trilobite? Look it up. They're everywhere. The world was ruled by trilobites. And if you obsess over the possibility that the Beatles never wrote a song, that includes John, Paul, George, and Ringo never wrote a song, that they were written by essentially by a social programming ad agency, and that that the 60s or any other flourishing of the human spirit was not real. What you're saying is that you have no creativity. These are all forms of not self-obsession. And they are abundant in the digital environment. Not only that, they are products of the digital environment. They are like the fruit of the poisonous tree of the digital environment. And the only thing that you can do in the midst of this overwhelming and all-powerful digital influence of Pluto in Aquarius coming at you,
right like that, coming at you all the time.
You're always, if you're looking straight ahead, you're always looking right at this threat, is to bring your most loving and creative self into everything that you do. That means staying in your true self orientation. That means noticing your not self signatures, frustration, anger, bitterness, and disappointment. And I would add resentment and guilt. Bitterness could easily include resentment and guilt. And so when you experience anger, bitterness, disappointment, frustration, resentment, and guilt, know that you are not in your true self. Some people use these emotions as crutches to stay in their not self because the self is so threatening to the ego. True self is so threatening to the ego. And so you can hunker down and you can take your bitter pill all the time. And then in a way, you'll be protected from the beautiful shining light of love. Your sign or rising sign, the ruling planet, it's not a planet, it's a luminary, is a star. A star that's been around, we are told, for 4.5 billion years, longer. That shines eternally until its life cycle ends, which we know will happen, but it's certainly going to be beyond the human lifespan. We experience the sun as a thing that is consistent. The weather changes. There are certainly solar flares, but basically the sun warms the planet. And we need our modes of protection from the sun as well. And you might say that the planets provide that. You might say that the planets provide a kind of a umbrella of a certain filter that we can get under. Okay, let's talk about this one particular point that I made. How having answers requires asking questions. Having faith implies having doubt. They're all human. They're all human encounters. Let's take a look. I want to focus in on what's happening in Aries. I'm going to have to go through my charts again. Hold on. Let's see. Well, the Virgo new moon chart, that's pretty good. Perfect. Let's use this chart. The Virgo new moon. Okay. Let's look real closely at this. Do you see all that Aries? Arias, as my German girlfriend Marie used to call it. Arias. I love foreign mispronunciations of American words. Chiron. Eris. Ceres. Cilicia. Neptune. Saturn. Let's not forget Borsisi. Here, a little pencil. Or CC. In college, I took astronomy. And I had a professor named Professor Borst. And it was a absolutely fantastic class. It was a physics department, physics and astronomy class. I took it pass-fail, assuming that I would get like a D+. I ended up getting an A, but I didn't get any credit for it because I took it pass-fail. So it didn't help my cumulative grade point average, which I don't really care about. That's good. But Professor Borst was the absolutely perfect absent-minded professor. He would do things like he was old, but he was a really good professor. And the class maybe had 20 kids in it, and it was in a lecture hall that seated about 100, which I went back and visited in my last visit to Buffalo. It's now a nursing lecture hall, but I had to go back and sit down in this lecture hall for a while and just commune with Professor Borst. And he would do things like trip over the overhead projector cord, and the whole room would go dark. And then he would get on the floor and have to be fumbling around in the dark to plug the light back in. And I think it was out of respect that no one just kind of got up and plugged the light back in for him. And we all waited very patiently while he did that. So thank you for your patience with the absent-minded professor. And kudos to my TA, Matt, who made sure that I got a quality. Look at all these planets in Aries. And they're all about to be retrograde. So I have a resource I can look up where there were bigger concentrations in Aries, but they wouldn't include Salacia or Ceres or Nessus. Sorry, Nessus is in Pisces, or Borysici. This alignment has never happened before. Why is this so important? Let's talk about that. So in astrology, the ninth place. The ninth place is about your relationship to existence. It starts being about the church and also about like foreign and all things, international and travel, like long distance travel. Like if you live in Connecticut and you drive to Long Island, that's not really long distance travel. If you live in Connecticut and you go to New Zealand or England, that's long distance travel. So long distance travel is involved in the ninth. But what we really get is a relationship to the cosmos. That's really what the ninth house is about. The ninth house, the modern term, I don't like it that much because I don't like anything with ality or ism. Like, I think that the stupidest word in the entire English language is shamanism. Okay? Tell me if you can tell me why shamanism and get it right. I will call me up. I'll give you a half hour chart reading. Shamanism, anything with an ism or an ality is ridiculous. Spirituality, but we do mean something by it, and that is to say your practice of your personal faith. The ninth house describes your relationship to God. Now, I don't have my copy of Stranger in a Strange Land here, but one of the things that Valentine Michael Smith, the man from Mars, brings to the Earth is the expression that thou art God. That's kind of what we think of when that's kind of like what you get when you put Aries on the ninth place. Aries on the ninth place. And when you put Aries on the ninth place, and I've only, for the sake of ease, I've only drawn in four of these points, but actually look at what really is in the ninth place. This is all the ninth place here, basically, out to from here to about here, all that. There's a lot of activity. Your whatever may be the direct confrontation associated with Pluto in the seventh, your mind actually wants to go here. You're probably becoming aware of some of the challenges and maybe the treachery of special hate relationships and special love relationships and special relationships generally. And you have a calling right now. there you have a real calling right now, what I will say is basically a spiritual awakening happening. Now, this is not the first one. Through the approximately 2016 era, 2015 era, there was something going on with this, but it was much more erratic, and it was more group-centered. Here, you're likely to be, this describes you experiencing something, and I cannot stand not having Boris Cece here. So let's get Boris Cece in here. Oops, that's in the wrong place. Oh, I've got an old pencil eraser here. Oh, now I've screwed my chart up. Boris Cece goes here. Salacia goes here. A lot's included in this. Pardon that eraser mark. And this eraser has to come out. So there, this is saying that the concept of that which is spiritual is very encompassing for you. And it's very encompassing at the moment, because Saturn and Pluto involve synthesis. They involve the becoming of who you are with entirely new elements available. Boris Cece is the faith and belief, truth versus lies factor. Salacia, very closely in very, very, very close in this cluster, and also very closely related to your scenario with your family. The family coming out of Capricorn here involves the truth of your sexual nature. Now, you don't hear spiritual teachers talk about this. Spiritual teachers make their money and they get their clicks nearly all the time by pretending that you have no underlying truth to your sexual nature. And if you do, it's sinful. All the political movements all are going to tell you what they think the underlying truth of your sexual nature should be to benefit their cause, not yours. There is no LGBTQ. That is purely a concept. What there is every person's relationship between themselves and their sexual nature, which largely is a reflection of and defines your relationship to existence, which is one of the most important parts of anything that could even meekly, accurately be described as spiritual. This is not commonly talked about for good reasons, or let's say very effective bad reasons. But there it is, right in this house that is encompassing everything to do with this kind of rapid onset spiritual quest that has seized you. And not only has it seized you, it is very easy to have your most profound personal spiritual quest for the truth of who you are in this universe and your relationship to existence be completely subverted, siphoned off, sold out to, captured by, seized by this huge not self environment that we are in, which is making all of its mojo is coming from the harvesting of your true self orientation by all of this not self nonsense. Finally, one last thing going on, and it is big. It is the conjunction of Chiron and Eris. We could take away all of this stuff and the eraser mark, and that alone would be monumental on a multiple lifetime scale. What's that about? Well, for the duration of all of our lifetimes now, unless you are nearly 100 years old, and there's a couple of people who are, our concept of who we are has been defined by electricity. and particularly for the past 100 years, by the spectrum of essentially telephone to digital, that span of the electrical environment, telephone to radio, pardon me, telephone is so 19th century, radio to digital. The crucial element for you where the advent of radio, which is when Eris entered Aries in the 1920s, is that it is created a concept of self that is the not self known as tribal thinking. And this is not real tribal. This is not the Anamamo Indians in South America. This is not the Navajo in the 17th century. This is not the Inuit people hunting and making pelts to wear. This is the faux tribal known as electricity. And it is the absolute most powerful not self influence that has ever existed. And that is represented by Eris. And what Chiron coming through Aries and forming this conjunction to Eris, which is going to go on well into 2026, it begins a whole new era for all of us, and especially for you, is it represents this potentially very challenging sensation that you have of being called to be an individual in this age of overwhelming, daunting, tribal consciousness, where essentially conformism has become so prevalent that but kind of nothing else exists, except that within you, something else definitely exists. That you have your calling to awaken to who you are within this overwhelming digital tribal environment. But you're not going to be very well supported from the outside. This is the crucial thing, that you can't go outside yourself so much for support for who you are. Even therapy is teaching people to be conformist. It has become so woke and politically correct and so afraid of the most important form of awakening in a body that can happen, which is sexual awakening. There's going to be a lot of that with Chiron and Eris. A lot of sexual awakening, but it is sexual awakening that threads the needle between the physical and the cosmic. And who dares to say that no human being would exist without being fucked into existence? Yeah, there's in vitro fertilization and all this. This is cloning, which I don't think is happening to people. This is an extreme minority. Yes, it has entered consciousness as an idea, right? But all of us, just about all of us, are fucked into existence. And even if you're an IVF, it's still sexual reproduction. And so the cosmic nature of sexuality is always subverted for some political or religious or governmental cause. And the truth of what brings people and, I mean, almost all plants, almost all animals, amoebas kind of split apart, is essentially stuffed and denied. So all of this is encompassed in your ninth house, but there's not going to be much external support for this. And so the question is, where do you find your support? Well, that really is calling on you to be deeply, inwardly focused, genuinely, truly introspective, and knowing when you're taken out of yourself by one of the many forms of a not self response: frustration, anger, bitterness, disappointment, resentment, guilt. Write those down. I'll say them slowly. Frustration, anger, bitterness, disappointment, resentment, guilt, and letting those feelings be a kind of alarm that alerts you to the fact that you have departed from your self-awareness and are being taken outside of yourself. And then that becomes a reminder to bring your awareness back inwardly. And the crime scene of the electrical age, in particular radio through digital, and that's really the 20th century crime scene. There's a whole other catastrophe that happened in the 18th century, most of which involves 19th century, most of which involves telegraph and electric light, completely recreating people hormonally, our sense of our day-night sleep cycle, the elimination of darkness nearly every place, the turning of darkness into a total object of fear for nearly everyone, therefore the interiority not being honored because it's kind of dark in there sometimes. And I don't mean scary. I just mean that there's not a lot of light. You got to find the light inside of you. Okay, what else can I say here? I kind of feel like I have made the really important points. I will say that there are multiple cautions against what my uncle Kurt Vonnegut called granfaloons, fake affinity groups. There's two, Pluto in Aquarius and Uranus in Gemini, in your 11th. So which is to say, I'm not saying that you don't really have friends at Burning Man if anybody still goes there. I'm not really saying that, the people you know in some kind of group event are not really your friends. But what I'm suggesting is that you recognize that there is such a thing as a false affinity group because there really is no affinity, and the false affinity group can take you outside of yourself to the point where you start to encounter all of these not-self signatures and where you can start to feel really alienated. So be mindful of that. Another kind of quick soundbite summary: your most important healing work involves your family. And the way that your family, by family I mean going back multiple generations, and the way that your family has influenced your relational sense and your sense of your sexual reality. A lot of what families do is they try to tell you who you are and who you aren't sexually. Like, they just tell you how to get pregnant. Not that anybody needs to know that, but that's still a lot of what religion teaches, is how to get pregnant. So we make more little Mormons, more Catholics, more Jehovah's Witnesses, more Jews, whatever they may be. Right? Birth control is not good for any religion. Sexual consciousness is not good for any religion. And the family is a kind of a religion. And so your most important healing work involves, and you can find all of this listed under the Family Hunger Games series of articles that you've seen if you're on my Substack, or you get Planet Waves mailings. But let's add something to add. We want to add the Family Hunger Games series, parts 1 and part 2. That will tell you what I'm getting at in terms of this last thought. And I would add one last thing, that how you think matters. How you communicate and how you think matters a lot. And a lot of these not-self signatures involve thinking in ways that are not really about you and how you think. And if you experience conflict, that's a time to reevaluate your thought process and your communication process. I'm not saying the conflict itself is inherently wrong. And with Pluto in your seventh, you're going to experience conflict. The question is, what does conflict teach you? What do disagreements teach you? Do you perceive disagreement as an invitation to go deeper and to gain understanding? Question one. And question two is, are the people you're with and potentially experiencing the disagreement with, are they themselves interested in using disagreements to go deeper? Or are they more interested in using disagreements as means of fragmenting and avoiding intimacy rather than cultivating intimacy? And I would add, the intimacy you want is most likely to take place in your home. All right, that's what I have to say. I'm now going to run around the house once and put these charts away. Thanks for bearing with my imitation of Professor Borst. This stack of charts. This is really about. The July and August horoscopes, and I'm starting to get there on the mid-year reading, which will be a written and a video reading. More to come if you found this in any way helpful. I hope you did. Take what you can. More will come out in a second and third viewing, and we provide the audio. I find that it's helpful to listen to the audio as well as to watch the video. Thank you for your business and your trust. Signing off from the Harshaw House in the Catskill Mountains of New York State. Lots of love. See you over in the Tower Read. Bye for now.